1993. We're at Bill's 1992, and we're at Bill Stark's house on Fifth Avenue, Howard Braun and Flo Joseph for the National Council of Jewish Women. Say something.
I want to respond to a question that we closed our last meeting with.
Repeat what the introduction
is. The key contributions that I think are significant analyzing your question as to how I would summarize is that I'm very proud of the fact that Bidwell Cultural and Training Center would not have existed if I had not put my shoulder to the wheel. The same with Big Brothers. The Pittsburgh Symphony Commercial Division was my idea and might have come to fruition 5, 6, 8, 10 years later. I raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for Civic Light Opera and kept that going at a very critical time. With Arthur Blum saved the Playhouse, or you wouldn't have a Playhouse at this time, because we signed our names to buy that thing at a time when the board wanted it torn down and disbanded. I thought I was significant in saving the American Wind Symphony at a certain point when it was tremendously in debt. I think I have made a significant contribution to my trade association because I was president when we started an educational program at the University of Maryland that's now 25 years later, and it circulates some of the key people in the industrial laundry industry through a four-year program on enhancing their technical competence at the University of Maryland. And I have had the opportunity to be significant in the creation of the Israel Heritage Room at the University of Pittsburgh and raised literally hundreds of thousands of dollars for them, including the $10 million gift from the Katzes, which may or may not have come to pass. Why he placed down here. The fact is that the gifts are made in that venue of people who ask for the right to live, and when they die, they want the institution to have the corpus, but there's no way of taking it back. It's an irrevocable gift. Okay, let's go on to some other things that I wanted your opinion on. Go ahead, you start your question. See, these are various papers that...
Flo had a question.
It's a more global question. Yeah. I mean, I was listening to you and realized how successful you were in business and in all of the philanthropic endeavors that you pursued. If you were to think back and maybe perhaps leave some sort of a legacy for the young people, children or whatever, what techniques do you think are the most useful in doing this tremendous job that you do? What is it about you that you...
She's focusing on technique.
I hear you. The technique that I would recommend is a personal understanding of no holds barred giving of yourself to accomplish a legitimate social objective. That's a lot of words, but what it says is get involved as a volunteer in an organization, and when you see an opportunity to create some new concept or new approach or new direction, speak up and be prepared to follow up. Do something constructive that adds to the good of the organization because you're promoting an advanced idea. Most people in institutions or organizations sit back and wait for a social worker to tell them what to do, for a priest or a minister or a rabbi to tell them what to do. And I found that to be unsatisfactory because so many times my vision and ideas were far beyond what they were willing to grapple with at a given time. And then I insisted on persevering in executing these ideas, irrespective of the cost of personal effort or money within my resources or the impact on other people. I ask you yesterday what it is about me that turns people off, and you both responded it had to do with the fact that people did not want to be disturbed. And I say to you, that is one thing I would pass on to young people. Don't be averse to disturbing the people around you in the pursuit of a common objective that will enrich the community or the society. There's just nobody else that's going to do it. If I see a piece of paper on the floor, I pick it up because somebody's going to have to do it. Why not me? And that's as simple as my life has been. If I have a good idea, what's wrong with promoting it? My wife many times says, you are a troublemaker. I'm a troublemaker because I want to pursue the betterment of the institution or the society or the times.
If I got to put it into two words or three, you have to be a true believer
and a doer.
And a doer. And you're compelled to do.
That you've got to follow through. Don't expect someone else to do it. It's you against the world on every single idea that deserves to live. And in the battle for the minds of men, your position, your determination is as good as or better than anyone else's. There is no looking up to someone higher than you. This is the point at which I lost my confidence in religion. Because here were people depending on a rabbi or a priest or a minister, A, to make judgments for them, B, to give them leadership, C, to give them comfort that someday they were going to be recompensed by getting to some ethereal place called a heaven. And then I found out many years later that in the Jewish tradition, it's you against God making your own deals on this earth at this time for your best interests. This only solidified my determination that my eyes were, and this is what YPO taught me. Everybody puts their pants on one leg at a time. This is what Hubert Humphrey taught me. This is what John F. Kennedy taught me. This is what Mayor Bart taught me. This is what Davy Lawrence taught me. Every important figure that I've ever touched has proven to me only one thing. They have the same emotions, the same feelings, the same aspirations, and they're one man and one vote.
Are only Democrats good? You only name Democrats.
It's unfortunate that in our society, the conservatives don't create new projects or new ideas, but rather attempt to hold the status quo. And this was never acceptable to me. The status quo was only the starting point for making a better world.
How about all those good corporate heads that you mentioned?
The same thing with the corporate heads. They had the same fears, the same misgivings, they had the same family problems. I would say that one of the big disappointments to me, and I'm still childlike in my analysis even in my 74th year, is the reluctance of so many important people to stay married to the first wife for all time. The necessity for so many of these men to project their sexual incompetence or insecurity and the necessity to have to dominate a woman. It was so disturbing when I was a child, and it's still disturbing as I'm supposedly grown up. And this is the sense in which I say to you that I'm 74 thinking 17 or 18. Mm-hmm. Because I still can't understand the need. I first 35 years of my married life were just a delight because it had all the problems that everybody else had. Now that my kids were gone and my wife had to have some baby toy, whatever, so that she attempted to dominate me in a far greater extent than when we were growing up together, it's the only disappointment. The fact that I've had to fight for the right to be myself, even at the risk of antagonizing my wife and the people around me.
Yes.
Fortunately, I don't include my children in that. For some reason, they sense what I stand for. They have never criticized me. They have never attempted to degrade me.
But wait a minute. Haven't they been proud of you?
I can't answer that. I've never solicited that
Well, can't you hear, feel it?
I really haven't taken the time to wait to see whether that was true, because I was so anxious for them to get along with their mother that I literally stepped back to not appear to be competing with their mother for their attention or...
But weren't you also late in recognizing your father's affection?
I was late in that, too, because yeah. I was...
You were late in that, too.
In that sense, I suppose I've been insensitive. I don't know what I could have done about it, because I was so anxious to look forward and dream impossible dreams, and I recognized at almost an early age that my aspirations did not parallel those of most of the people around me, that I suppose I turned off my hearing devices, and maybe it was selfish.
Well, no.
Maybe it was selfish for not recognizing that these people were attempting to...
May I repeat a word you just used, which I think is the key to you?
Right.
Anxiety.
That's right. I will confess to having had continuous, unabated anxiety all my life. Anxiety about a lot of things. I remember as a child particularly being so lonely because there were no kids to play with. And that my life was designed to... washing the floors and doing the diapers and making my mother's life a little more pleasant, that the anxiety that existed was so variegated. It had to do with wondering who I was and where I was and why I was. You're talking about 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah, but it's continued to this
and
day.
I still confess that it continues to this day, but the anxiety translated into this intense commitment to the better world concept, so that if everybody has a raison d'etre, obviously anxiety would have to be mine. I found out many years later that the middle child in most families suffer these anxieties, and that was a comfort to realize that I wasn't that far out of step in terms of the expectations of my psyche and my ego. But don't remember that I stopped for that reason. And as you confront me with the question now, I'm not going to quit in having this anxiety, because my friend Emil Trellis, the great psychiatrist, says there's nothing to be upset about, because the alternative to your anxiety turns out to be socially desirable. And so that would be the
consequence, not the alternative.
Well, the consequences, that would be a better word. The consequences of this anxiety have turned out to be a significant amount of social good. Mm-hmm. And for that, I'm grateful.
And satisfaction.
Oh, tremendous satisfaction. It's lonesome. It is absolutely lonesome. And this is another thing that Young President's Organization taught me, that the head honcho has to be lonesome, because there aren't too many people you can share with. And what made it so comforting was the fact that there were others in this same boat. I kept on saying that there's only one boss.
Yes.
And then I had a brother with the five kids, and he came up with an idea that everybody at his table had a vote, but only his counted. So that was a further implementation of my determination that everybody has a vote, but only mine counts as for me.
Mm-hmm.
And in the running of my business or my family, I had to be the boss.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I could be disliked or hated couldn't deter me, because it was just the way the human mind works. And when I asked you the other day, what is it about me that turns people off, it comes back to that factor, that if you're going to be the boss, you're going to create antagonisms. I used to say in this one, I created myself, the making of decisions is at best the choice between uncertainties. You know, you can only be 50% right, you can only be 50% wrong. And so I never had any problem making a decision. Many times they were wrong. Oh, to this day I could tell you my wife thinks most of them are wrong. But that's another person's point of view. So she'll come down on me with, everybody says. Who's everybody? I really don't care. Well, that's your problem. You don't care about anybody. Oh, yes, I care about a lot of people, but I don't care about everybody. So there again is a There again is a monograph that I must write. Mm-hmm. I don't care about everybody, but I care about somebody. This is the same village orchestra.
Yeah. You know, Bill, you enjoy yourself.
Ah, that's true. Oh, is that true? Because for so many years I had nobody to play with, and so I came to enjoy myself, and I have to tell you that I have very significant refuge.
Can you turn off the ring on the telephone?
No.
No, I pushed it to...
to record, and that records is when I make the speech. We were still talking. Yeah. I was saying that for the years in which I had nobody to talk to and nobody to play with, I developed a whole series of alternatives involving self-entertainment. And of course, the piano lessons were a great refuge initially. Reading was an alternative, and here I am in my 74th year still using music and reading as a constructive use of my leisure time. The times in which I have to play golf with people are sometimes thought to be a waste. My wife can't understand the fact that many times I will go out and play golf by myself. This is not socially acceptable to country club folk. They can't, they don't, they're not capable of, they're not interested in the fact that someone would play by themselves. There's a certain doctor out there who works till 4:30 and comes out and plays by himself, and they consider him eccentric. My wife considers me eccentric because I'll go out at 9 o'clock in the morning and hope that I don't run into anybody. A, I can play faster. B, it's a game in which you challenge yourself and you don't need somebody else. C, the waste of time of the sociability of the thing is more than I can really handle. At cocktail parties, I'm terrible. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to act. And as a consequence, unless I find somebody that is a kindred soul, I have a miserable time. And this has been the story of my life all the way back to childhood.
You know Leif Kessler?
Yes.
Don't you get along well with
Very
him?
Very well. I love him. But we haven't had time to talk because he's got a wife that's aggressively pursuing social good in the music field, and I cheer her. I cheer anybody that
Has your wife ever been involved with any of your
Always. My wife has been on the board of the Rhoda Sholem Sisterhood for 35 years.
Activities.
Basically, no, except Federation. So she has very, I would say, very little respect for some of the things that I do.
Are you sure it's lack of respect or simply...
Lack of interest.
No, just because you're there, she wants to be doing something else.
No, no, that isn't the point. The point is that she has a series of friends that are interested in playing bridge, they'll play golf, they have a great social relationship. Which I sometimes envy, but most times don't, because it takes so much more conversation and time than I'm able to give it, or willing to give it, or capable of giving it. And I use all three of those. I just am not good at that. I just can't stand the petty gossip that it takes to survive in the upper middle class society, as represented by cocktail parties and or so-called levels of friendship. The friendships that I have are strictly limited. If you ask me to identify five...
Do that, please.
I can't. I mean, five would be an absolute limit. Two have died.
You got one.
Oh, I have more than one. Yes, I have... I consider one of my daughters to be somebody that would stick with me.
Mm-hmm.
The other one I've never tested. But I have Dr. Trellis that I know is a very close friend that I can always rely on. I have a business advisor that I trust. Most of my decisions, because of my position as the head of the family and the head of the business, did not lend themselves to needing other people's advice, except on a technical matter at a given time, and or making close friendships that were ongoing. I had a lawyer friend that I was very close to, and when the business broke up, he opted to go with my brother. That broke my heart. Three or four of the friends that I've had in my life I've lost for economic reasons. And this has been a source of great pain to me. Again, this is where the anxiety set in and put me off onto a new track. This inspires me to do so many other things, like create the Symphony Orchestra for the Community Center and or continue to raise money for charities. Again, you can't rely on close personal relationships as much as you have to rely on technique.
And technique, Bo asked you a little bit about it.
Yes.
Your answer was basically
persevere.
Be a true believer.
And persevere.
And perseverance.
And your ideas are as good as anybody else's. And this goes up to Rabbi Freehoff. This goes up to the people that I respected in my lifetime. And they were four or five in number. Besides Dr. Freehoff, had a brilliant mind. The fact he was a Pittsburgh was not significant. The fact is, he was a world figure. Of course, Hubert Humphreys was another person for whom I had a high regard because of his imagination and his leadership. And I had an opportunity to tell it to him, so that made it comforting. Yes, there were people in my college years that I still have a tremendous regard for. Do I regret not having had close friendships? And the answer is absolutely yes. Yes, I sometimes wonder whether I'll be lonesome in the next 20 years that I plan to live. I'm planning a 93rd birthday party. You guys are invited.
What's your next?
What
is your next new project?
Well, as I told you,
you seem to be constantly growing.
Yes. Tomorrow morning I hope to start launching endowment fund for the newest Jewish cause in Pittsburgh, communal living being sponsored by the Federation of the Jewish Family and Children's Service. And then on next Tuesday, I hope to contribute significantly to fundraising for the Pittsburgh Rehabilitation Institute. That was an exciting story. Some 8 or 9 years ago, as a member of the board at Harmerville, it struck me that there should be some union of the resources of the Rehabilitation Institute and St. Francis and Harmerville and D.T. Watson. And I convened the heads of those four agencies for the purpose of determining what they could do together. Oh, and not to exclude the vocational rehabilitation services. My objective was to try to see what they could do not to duplicate each other, such as creating prosthetic devices that might lead to a new business that would be a continuous income stream for all of them. And I successfully convened the heads of these organizations, Mr. Bisbee up at the Rehab Institute, Leonard Weitzman down at BRC, and the head of and the medical head at the St. Francis, and D.T. Watson and Harmerville, the assistant director, Enger. And we held two meetings to discuss what prosthetic devices might be created that could be marketed by these five agencies, and how they could cover the geographical area without going to Beaver County to come to Squirrel Hill, but rather go to D.T. Watson. How somebody in Greensburg need not go to D.T. Watson, but could end up in Squirrel Hill. To take a geographic representation, but the economics of their different needs came into focus almost immediately. But the second thing was that the Hospital Planning Council decided that I wasn't qualified to convene the third meeting, so they sent Sig O. Falk in my place, and he held one meeting and destroyed the whole idea. But the need is still there. It's just, they're now competing as if they were businesses. Unfortunately, Governor Thornburgh permitted one of his political cronies to open up a for-profit agency in Monroeville, and that confused the issue. He didn't realize what he was doing, I'm sure. But the fact is that now you've got Armourville with a place in Greensburg, which was fine, but they came into Squirrel Hill to offer a service right where VRC and Rehab Institute were physically sitting, so that the concept of competition has now permeated the entire hospital industry, and that is a terrible, terrible, wasteful thing. Having sat on the boards of three hospitals, I can tell you that there's no earthly reason why Blue Cross and Blue Shield have to pay three and four and five times for the same procedure, which is what happens when you permit
each one
of them to follow his own course. The directors were sympathetic to my idea, but of course the hospital planning decided to send an amateur in, and he destroyed it. Hopefully it was.
Is there any chance that you could turn your mind back to that? In fact, I'd help you on that one.
The answer to turning back is very difficult, because the competition is now so intense that the certain hatreds and dislikes have crept in. Uh-huh. At the time that I was stimulating this meeting, these people were...
This was in
approximately 1984, 85, when these people were still talking to each other. Bisbee has since retired. Leonard Weitzman is retired. Mr. Lacey is retired at Armourville, although his successor is still available and willing to do this. D.T. Watson is a mess altogether, because their man is the Children's Hospital staff, and he has a private fiefdom going. They have 82 beds and 12 patients. A total waste of resources. But they continue to raise money among the Christian community in Sewickley, and nobody, and polo matches and other things, and not realizing that this is waste.
Are you thinking of any other projects that you're going to become active in? I mean, from what I gather, you're not going to stop.
Well, I have a feeling that it's about time that I sat down and pulled all these ideas together and started to write them. You stimulated me to think constructively about how to...
Well, there are people who are doers and not writers.
But I have to tell you, one of my things is I'm not modest, and I have to tell you that I write a very strong, paper. And besides being a doer, I think I'm also a writer. I'm not very modest about it.
Mm-hmm.
No, actually, I continue to watch Elements. This morning, I worked on a project trying to create a black entrepreneurship in Homewood. I went to breakfast with the Councilman Darkins and a friend of mine to create the business of salvaging all of the abandoned cars in the public housing projects. And they're in the hundreds. These black youngsters will steal a car and strip out what they want, and then they will dump it in the project, which is basically a black enclave, because A, they know they won't get caught, and B, that's the quickest place to dump it. Then they will use the money to support a drug habit or other things. So this morning's meeting brought together the Reverend Darkins and my friend Clarence Smith, and they're going to launch a business next Tuesday in a building that I gave to the Reverend Darkins in Homewood, and hopefully create 15 or 20 black jobs. That's something I'll have to watch for a couple of months to make sure that the pieces fall into place. So I watch for opportunities to be creative.
Who was that in with Darkins and Smith?
That's yes. Darkins, Reverend Darkins is city council.
Yeah, and
Clarence Smith is an old friend of mine who owes me a significant amount of money for five other projects that he entered into over the last 10 years, and he was not able to follow through.
Mm-hmm.
But I live in hope that
what does Smith do for a living?
He owns a bar in Ambridge. He's a police security person for Duquesne Light at the airport, and his young, significant real estate that I helped him acquire over the years. And he continues to look for ways and means of creating more black entrepreneurship. And he knows that I'm the sucker that's going to help him launch the thing. He never met Darkens before, and it's taken me a year and a half to get Darkens to meet him. And Darkens had his arm around him as I left, saying, "You really did me a favor." Darkens has this building that the church owns that he wants to fill. And this will give him an extra $500 a month.
Yeah, well, okay. He knows how to make a bit of money for himself.
Hopefully. What you ought to do is you ought to let me meet with you on Saturday.
Well, why don't we continue
meeting
right now?
Oh, here's another thing that I'm vitally interested in. ESP. I have been reading about extrasensory perception for years. It's got
what do you want to do? Go over your
papers? No, I thought if we went over these papers, it would suggest to you other elements that you might be interested in. There's some here. This has got to be a picture of Fletcher Byram.
Yeah. You seem to have about 12 inches worth of papers there. Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to help me throw out. I've saved this because Fletcher Byram was some incredibly creative man.
Well,
we
don't want to throw out any of your papers.
No, well, you'll decide.
Maybe you'll save some of those for your book that you're thinking
of. Yes.
Oh, I have to tell you guys, I'm sorry?
Maybe you'll save some of those papers and go through them when you write your book.
Well, if you get them, it'll be my pleasure. I won't, because it'll...